this podcast series, we're not just trying to change Africa's narrative. We are changing it. Because Africa leads, Africa excels, and Africa inspires. The focus on our continent's poverty, inequality, violence, and lack of development is definitely out of sync. When you compare it to other continents who have the same, but also we hear voices and see images of growth, development of economic and emerging markets, all leading to investment and ultimate self-reliance. So help me welcome guests from Africa and all over the world invested in the rising of Africa. The time for Africa's rising is now. The world has no choice but to let us rise because, as the youngest of all people, we are the future of the world. So, from Africa to the world, this is Yavi Madure. We're changing Africa's narrative by showcasing African leadership, African excellence, and African inspiration. There's just so much to talk about under these topics. So join me as we continue the conversation on From Africa to the World.
I'm so inspired by the Global Trade Help Desk idea that you've just spoken about now. And I know that I'm going to get you back just to be able to talk to the women of Africa, the businesswomen of Africa, to speak about that specifically, because that is what we stand for from an organization perspective, is that we want to be able to make communication and information about trade a non-currency, because that's what it is in Africa at the moment. Information has become currency. So we want to kind of, you know, demystify it, but devalue information, if you know what I mean, so that it's not a currency, it's just information and it's available to everyone. So I do want to talk more to you about that specifically, but in an environment where we invite other people to have, you know, have questions and be able to talk about it, and you know, whatever we need to be able to do about it. But I want to go back to something very quickly around where to from here. So when we look at the ITC, and you are doing a lot from an investment in trade, especially from a gender, youth, and an Africa perspective, there is so much being done. I mean, I know just from having a few conversations with some of the people around the ITC, I do know what is happening. And every now and again, I see something pop up on my social media. So it's, you know, there's a lot happening from an International Trade Center perspective. What are your kind of outlook in terms of trade for Africa in general? You know, is there this, you're going to take about 10 years to get to where you need to get to? What is kind of the general outlook view on Africa from your perspective?
You know, after the last 2 years, I have learned not to make predictions because I've been, you know, not so accurate on many things, because who would have thought we would be where we are right now with the pandemic. But I will say that if we invest in certain things today, we will reap the benefits tomorrow. So you had mentioned earlier, Yavi, about the business community in Africa feeling a little bit disconnected from what's happening at the policy level. We are not going to have a successful delivery model of the continental free trade area if the private sector is not central to it. So for me, there are three things that we need to do. You need to be more inclusive, bringing in all elements of the private sector, not just big businesses, but micro, small, and medium-sized enterprises, women's organizations, which I'm really, really proud to say ITC has been doing, galvanizing women BSOs from across the continent to let them know about the opportunities of the CFTA, something which we can, you know, probably do a lot more with you to make sure, as you said, that this information, this data, this intelligence is democratized. The second thing is about influence. It's not just about giving the private sector a seat at the table. It's about being honest that they can influence the outcome of the discussions, that they can influence how things are rolled out, because they know the practicalities of trading. not just the theory, they know the practicalities. So you need to take their views on board. And then they have to be involved in the implementation. Public-private partnerships, I think, has been a bit of a overused word in the development community the last 20 years, but they're still absolutely critical. This is how you get buy-in, by making sure that those who are going to benefit from the outcomes are involved in the rollout of the outcomes as well. So for me, those things are going to be really important. Now, at a more global scenario, because, you know, Africa is part, an important part of the global community, so you can't disconnect what's happening in the continent from what's happening in the rest of the world. We need to address climate change issues. Countries in Africa, countries in my region, the small island developing countries, they're going to be those who are going to be most affected by climate change. So we need to drive these issues of climate change and sustainable development. The second thing is, we need to really drive home the fact on full equality for men, women, non-binary, LGBTQI, all races, all ethnicities. That has to be at the core of anything we're doing globally moving forward. The third thing is about digital for all. I mean, we've seen during COVID that those small businesses that have actually been able to survive are those that either had a digital footprint or those that were really, really quick to be able to pivot towards that. So it's very clear that we need to give everyone in the continent access to the tools and the intelligence in terms of digital platforms and digital access. The fourth thing is about real multilateralism. And this is where every country and citizen is invested in global issues, and every country and citizen has a say in what's happening. One thing that this pandemic has showed us is that global problems do need global solutions. So we need to harness what we've learned from this moving forward. And then something which is really important to me is, and this is maybe more of a softer outcome of what I'd like to see as a result of a successful rollout of the CFTA, to have Africans, Afro-Caribbeans, people of African origin, have them and their contributions commemorated and celebrated a bit more. You know, for us to be able to influence and change this, create our own historical truth in a way. I would love to see that kind of celebration of what we have been able to achieve as individuals and as a community in the last couple of decades. I would love to see that celebrated. Now, this is my wish list, but this is not going to happen if African leaders are afraid to give up some autonomy and power. The whole idea of a continental free trade area is that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts, which means African leaders have got to come together and realize that what they're building is bigger than their individual countries. We need to seriously invest in youth and women and innovation. The innovation that I see on the African continent when I travel to Africa, I mean, simply just driving in the car, some of the things I see at the side of the road, which may seem a little routine or basic to other people, but when I see that, I see innovation. I see people being able to do things, being able to find solutions for problems. And that is something to be celebrated and something to be harnessed. So I would love to see the leaders in the continent and the business leaders invest more in this innovative spirit within our women and our youth, especially. And then I just want to end on women. You know, if we don't truly invest and support that half of our population, which are the true change makers, which are women, then we will never move forward. This means giving them equal rights in terms of human rights, access to own assets, access to own land, access to get a bank loan, access to go where they want, when they want, with who they want. So that for me is going to be really, really critical going forward. Are we bold enough to do what is right, which is to have human rights and equality for all, especially for women? And you will be surprised how something like that will really drive the economic deliverables of something like the CFTA.
You're preaching to the choir, Mr. Wilson. You have inspired me for a Monday morning. And you've stolen my thunder a bit, because I was going to ask you, what message do you have for the women of Africa, for the leaders of Africa? So let me undo my question and go back to something that you've said, which has inspired me, but to say to you, if you could say, not to me now, so, you know, you were speaking to me from a leadership perspective, you were speaking to African leaders in terms of government, what needs to be done in order for us to move forward and to truly make the AFCFTA a success? If you had a message for the young girls in the Caribbean, in Africa, because we're in the same boat, just a different location, what would that be to, you know, kind of like a, not a teenage girl, so like, you know, 18, 20-year-old girl who is understanding that she's at the cusp of where she is in the world, but she has opportunities, it's just that she may not know it. What would you say to her?
That is probably the most challenging question you've asked me, because I, you know, in a way I feel, who am I to be giving advice to? I can only come up with two words, and that's be bold. And within be bold, I mean so many things. I mean, be confident. I mean, don't let people put parameters on your growth and your dreams. Be resourceful, believe in yourself. And I know that those things sound a little bit, you know, huggy, feely, but they're really important, huh? Confidence really is the seed that allows everyone to bloom. And I know that young women, especially in our regions, sometimes have that confidence knocked out of them from far too early an age. They need to find their clan. They need to find their gang. They need to find their people who are going to help them to build and protect that confidence. And once you have that confidence in yourself, and you believe that you're willing to try anything, even if you may fall the first or second or third time, you are unstoppable in many respects, huh? So that's my real advice. Be bold, build confidence, and have people around you that support your vision, no matter how small you think it may be.
Thank you for that. Thank you. And that's going to go a long way. If you had to say to a youth, it doesn't matter their gender, and if you look back on your career, what would be the thing that you would either not do or do again because it defined your way forward, knowing where you come from? So, you know, knowing the things that were stacked against you, but, and maybe it happened by default, maybe not, maybe it happened by purely pure intention. What would be the thing that you would either not do again or do again? And just to contextualize it, you know, for a young person, we've got 60% of the continent under the age of 25. Many of those are unemployed and they feel like they've got no hope. What would you say, you know, looking at your own career and the things that are stacked against us sometimes, what would you say, you know, would be the thing that you would not do or do again, or both?
Well, I will say that if you had told 10-year-old Matthew that he would one day be working at the United Nations, or having worked at, you know, the World Trade Organization, or having been a, you know, a representative for his country, which is, you know, still one of the most incredible things I've done. If you had told 10-year-old Matthew that, he would have said, no way. So I hate to sound cliche when I say that, you know, dreams are possible, things do come true if you work hard and you believe in yourself, et cetera, et cetera. But the truth is that sometimes it's really a mix of happy accidents. Yes, working hard and being dedicated, not being afraid to take risks, But most importantly, having the right people around you. I can't emphasize that enough. You do become who you have around you because you pull things from them. I have been able to benefit from some incredible mentors throughout my life and my career, both in my family, friends, and from my professional context. People who up to this day are so supportive of me in terms of giving me advice, in terms of giving me opportunities, in terms of not being afraid to tell me when I've made mistakes or I could do better. That kind of honest mentorship is one of the best things I have done. And I recommend to any young person out there, find that person or people around you who recognize what you can bring to the table, who are willing to support you, who do not have an ulterior motive, and who recognize that when one of us shines, all of us shine.
Thank you so much. To end on that particular note, an inspirational note, as I knew you would. Thank you so much, Matthew Wilson, for joining us today. It's going to be an amazing journey ahead. And thank you for joining us at our Pagua Table of Possibility in From Africa to the World.
Thank you so much, Yavi. And let me just leave you and your team with one word: persevere. We need people like you to champion and give voices to the ordinary and give voices to the voiceless. So keep doing what you're doing. It was a real pleasure to work with you in this. Thank you.
Thank you.